Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for May 6th. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me this evening is Jim Allen. How's it going, buddy?
It's good, and I'm at home in Tokyo for a change.
Good, man. Relaxing. I had a good day, I think.
I did. I had a very good day. I got out early, got home early.
This was one of the better sports days in Japan, I think, in a long time. And actually, all over the world, there was hockey, there was boxing, soccer, and of course, baseball in the major leagues, baseball here in Japan. Great day, great sports day.
Indeed, great, very memorable day in Japan, and we're going to get to that.
Yep. On today's show, we've got an interview with Vladimir Coco Ballantyne of the Yakult Swallows. We're going to discuss the Central League. We're going to talk about Nagashima and Matsui. We're going to take a look at the animal and much more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, remember, if you live in the United States, find out more information on watching live Giants games on oneworldsports.com.
All right, well, we had a chance this past week to catch up with Vladimir Ballantyne at Yokohama Stadium when the Swallows played 3-day games against the Bay Stars in a kind of a quasi-holiday week. Well, you know, it's Golden Week here in Japan, and
Silver Days, as my friend likes to call them, since they're broken up into you don't always get all of them in a row.
Okay, so we got some gold and we got some change. Okay, well, this is one of the change days in which a lot of people were off, but they weren't officially national holidays. But the Bay Stars had day games during the middle of the week on these non-national holidays, and they kind of suffered at the gate, but they played some really fun games, and I was fortunate to attend one of them and catch up with Coco, the Swallows' two-time home run champion. So we talked about, you know, we were catching up. We had seen him a little bit earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
He got a late start to his season, as many of you do know, because he strained a leg muscle when the Netherlands was beating Cuba for the first of two times at Tokyo Dome.
Right, in the WBC.
In the
Tokyo round, yep.
And anyway, we talked about this and that, injuries in particular in the WBC and so on. So let's hear what Vladimir Ballantyne had to say. Okay, we're here today at Yokohama Stadium with Vladimir Coco Ballantyne of the Yakult Swallows, and he's been really hitting up a storm. Nice to talk to you today.
Nice to talk to you too, man.
Now, recently the Swallows playing really well the last few days, and you've been kind of up and down this year. I mean, the team has.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't played our best baseball yet.
Uh-huh.
For the start of the season. But from last week to now, we start doing our best better. The team start getting more together. We play much better, and everybody is more comfortable. If we keep playing like that and be positive like we are right now, I think we're gonna be good for the rest of the season.
You guys have a lot of challenges with all the injuries. I mean, you must get tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, you know. I mean, we don't have a lot of superstars in our team, but, I mean, the couple guys that we have that we can count on them, and now they're down. It's kind of hard because now we got to play with whatever we got. But, I mean, that's don't make no excuse. I mean, everybody got to come up to the stadium and, you know, step it up and do the best they can do. And for the last couple weeks, the guys are amazing. So they know how to fill that empty space we have right now.
Okay. Obviously some of the guys on the team be looking at this. This is my chance to play.
Yes, I mean, like you guys can see in the bullpen, we have a couple of rookies.
Right.
We have two young guys starting. I have a rookie and a young guy, Yagi and Ogawa,
right,
in the starting lineup. Starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those guys, they're having a chance. They're having a shot, and so far they're doing it great. And I think that's the way as a young player, you get your opportunity. That's the way you show the manager that you really want it.
Okay.
and you're hungry for it, and if they keep doing it, we'll be all right, and they will be all right, and they will find them in a better situation.
Okay, I want to talk about that a little bit, because you had to make transitions to playing in foreign countries your whole life. How is the transition coming to Japan compared to the transition going to the States to play ball?
Well, I mean, going to the States, it was a little bit more easy, because the language, right. I know the language, the food, it was a little more easy than translate to Japan, because coming to Japan is a way different country.
Right.
I'm not used to it. I don't speak the language. The food is different. So it's harder over here, but I mean, when I get here, the only thing I say that I want to be successful. I try to get myself more comfortable. I can faster, so I can play good and have success.
Okay. Well, so far so good. Now, right now, you're having a lot of success over the last, you've been on a streak, and it just seems like nobody can throw anything past you.
No, man. I mean, that's part of the game, As a hitter, any hitter can get hot. And I mean, when a hitter get hot, it doesn't matter. What kind of pitch they throw to you, your swing always will feel good, and you will be having a lot of success in that streak when you're hot.
Okay. Now, when you're going well, what are some of the things that you do as a hitter when you're going well that you try to, that make you lose when you're not doing well? Mechanically or?
No, this game is a lot mental.
Okay.
So I think when you're doing good, you don't think too much.
Okay.
You just go up there and swing the bat, and But when things not going the way you want it, I mean, you start thinking, and then it get worse. So I think for a hitter to be success, even things not going the way you want, you just need to stay positive and don't think too much.
Okay. You came this season, you had a little, it's an unusual season because you had, obviously, as you start a little earlier, be prepared a little earlier for the WBC. Now, how did that affect your season? I mean, aside from the injury.
I mean, it did not affect too much my season beside the injury, because, I mean, even we go all the way to the semifinal, if I was not hurt, I will be still in time to play a couple of exhibition games before the season starts.
Okay.
So that way it's not that bad. But the only bad thing that nobody wants to happen is injuries, and that hurt me a little bit, and that hurt my team a little bit when I got hurt. I mean, I can't control it, but that's part of the game. And I could start the season early, and I could not be in there to help my teammates. So that was a little bad for me, but I mean, like I said, I can't control it.
It could have happened in a spring training game.
Yeah.
How about the positives of that? I mean, obviously there's
it's a lot of positive, but then the other side, I mean, I'll be able to play for my country, put my country jersey on, play with all my homeboys, speaking our language.
Yeah.
Experience the WBC, that's my first one. I never been to one before. I had the opportunity to go to Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
I had the opportunity to take all the way to semifinal.
Right.
So you look at that way, it was a lot of positive things beside the injury I had.
Must have been kind of refreshing being around people speaking your home language for that part of the season.
Yeah, it was like for a month I feel like I was home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a completely different, completely different, unusual season for you.
Yeah, I mean, I get used already over here,
Right.
It doesn't bother me too much, but, get the opportunity we had in the WBC is something special, man. It's something, not even you feel at home here, you cannot compare all those things together.
Yeah, so that was a special opportunity, obviously. It's got to help. I think it's like that interleague break, perhaps, where things are a little different. You get that change.
Yeah.
You got to stay a little fresher, maybe, because of that.
Yes, and, you just have fun. Even you want to win it, but it's more about the fun.
Okay.
It's more like being there.
Okay.
And, over here, it's your everyday job. So, you got to concentrate, every day. But over there, it was so fun because it's just like, you know, nobody expects us to be there, so we just go and have fun, and, you know, and we get all the way where we get.
Okay. Now, this year you're, you know, you're playing with your guys from your home country and from your home islands, and now you're playing with some guys. Maybe do you know all the guys on the team now?
Yeah, I mean
all the kids who are coming, they're bringing up. You know all their names?
Most of them. I mean, I've been here for 3 years already, so okay. I know most of the guys. Okay. I mean, it's a couple guys that doesn't know, but I get to know them in sprint training because right. They was there like Ogawa. Ishiyama, and the other guys, I had a chance to meet them at Toda when I was rehabbing. So,
you got that extra refresher course.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. How was that? You told me you got a lot of swings up there, which is a really good thing. You said you were getting 30 minutes in the cage or something.
In Toda?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean it's you know, I wasn't playing game, and
right.
when they play away, the field is only for me, you know, only for the guys that stay.
Okay.
And I was only like two hitters, me and Kawabata and Miwa.
Okay.
So the team wasn't there, so you have more time to hit. So I just did 20, 25, sometimes 30 minutes, just work on my swing and try to get my swing the faster I can so I can be up here sooner.
Yeah, I was. I remember you telling me that, and I was kind of surprised. I was surprised that you were about as good as you were. You started off pretty well after a couple of bats.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know the type of player I am, and you know, it's hard. It's hard when you come from an injury. You don't play a lot of games. You know, you need to get in the game group, and the first couple of days was hard for me, but you know, I always stay positive. I know everything was coming, my timing was coming, and you know, here we are. I mean, having a great season so far.
Sure. Now let me ask about, you know, you've been around in your minor league career, kind of up and down, but after 2 years in Japan, you win two home run titles, and the team comes and makes a big commitment to you as an individual, as a ball player. What does that do for you to have the team say, we want you to play for us for a long time?
Well, I mean, it's something very special for me, and the way they appreciate, the team appreciate the work I did, and the way that the team showed me that they really want me to be part of them and part of the future, and try to help the team win a championship in the future. So I mean, that's really great, because before I never heard any team give them a foreigner player more than 2 year deal, and when they offered that to me, I mean it was kind of surprised, but I understand that they really have me, and they plan, and they want me to be part of the organization in the future. So it was. It was a great moment for me when we were discussing the contract.
It's got to be. I know you always try to keep very level and focused. Every, you know, treat every game the same. But that, in the back of your mind, is that a little extra motivation for you? Like, you know, not only am I doing this, but I'm getting it back.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, our goal. I mean, every player go up there, they give everything they have, and you know. I take the game every be the same, and I mean having that in the back of the mind is like, you know, you're a little bit more comfy, you know, you get your family secured and all this stuff, so you know you play more relaxed, and the way I play, I mean relaxed, it's not like you don't care, I mean you more like, you know, you don't think too much, and things going better that way when you're thinking too much.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, and thanks for being on the podcast. All right. And good luck, man.
All right, man.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the chat, Coco.
Thank you very much, Coco. Yeah, it sounded good. You guys did a good job. Thank you for doing the interview, dude.
Yeah. Well, he was chilling, and you know, he did stop on his way to go get some food.
Wait a second. When is he not chilling?
I know. I know. If you listen to Latimer, it's like, man, I gotta be what I am, and I'm being relaxed, I'm being cool, and doing things day by day. It's all about, you know, being relaxed and got his game going. I'm taking it easy. I'm working hard, but you know, I got my thing going. I'm gonna keep at it.
Yep.
So anyway, he was getting his thing on in Tota Saitama Prefecture earlier in the season when his leg wasn't completely healthy. So he was spending 30 minutes a day swinging. And he talked about that when they came up, and I spent all day swinging, and my swing's in good shape, and I was thinking, I'll believe that when I see it. And he was right.
You caught him during that really hot streak.
Right, but he started out pretty well for a guy who hadn't faced a lot of live pitching. You know, who hadn't been playing games essentially in a few weeks. So,
which was my comment, my thing. I mean, to say that he's on the way. He's
right.
Certainly not there yet, but with 9 home runs, he's on the way to catching Tony Blanco, which is saying a lot because Tony had such a head start, and he's been really good so far this year too. So.
Tony Blanco has had a head start, and he's moving at the same speed everybody else is moving at. So we don't call him T60 for nothing.
That's right, big T60.
So what did you take out of Mr. Ballantyne's discussion?
A lot. There were a lot of things, but I guess the first thing that hit me was that he said it's no excuse that they've lost some players. And I really love that comment, and I really love their attitude. And I think that underscores what the manager and the kind of leadership he brings to the team. Because, and you're going to talk about some of the young guys later, but I actually saw an interview with Ogawa this week.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about it too. And he said, hey, look, you know, and certainly the fans are quick to point out, hey, look, we don't have this guy, and we don't have that guy, and we don't have the other guy. And the fans really are more understanding about it, I think, than even the media, because the media is not going to put pressure on guys because they're unproven. And obviously the fans and then the team itself, I think they don't expect that expectations might drop a little bit.
Well, I want to just interject here. You know, the media is probably the biggest issue here because, you know, when we write a story, if the Swallows win, we'd say they win despite the injuries.
Right. The shorthanded Swallows win.
Exactly. If they lose to the shorthanded Swallows, it's just a hook. It doesn't really mean anything. But, you know, sometimes the things people write take on more, more weight than they deserve.
Right, right. So, you know, the one thing I know about athletes, having dealt with them over the years, is that most of them, if not every single one of them, are supremely confident. If they weren't, they wouldn't be where they are.
Sure.
And whether it's, if there's a feeling or a handicap or something that they think is not fair, they still go out there to prove otherwise. You know, hey, look, we might be limping. We could still beat you. And so I really, that right there, it's no excuse for them to lose games just because they don't have X player or Y player or X, Y, and Z player plus A and B and C. I mean, you know, they don't want to make excuses. And that one stuck out for me the most. And he's so hot. I mean, when you talk to him, he was in the midst of this home run binge.
Right.
And I started calling him Hot Cocoa.
Yeah, that day was the day he walked 3 times, his first 3 times up. The Swallows lost that game, but I think Hatakayama tied it in the 9th inning.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, he's been pretty hot. And, you know, I can understand his plan because it looks like he's just going up there and he's saying, look, if I see anything hard, I'm swinging. And if it's in the zone, I'm swinging really hard. Just blistering the ball. He didn't look like he had a plan. His plan wasn't. He didn't look like he was sitting on anything in particular. He was just going up there, and he was just swinging. Hey, I see a ball coming my way.
Yeah.
The walk-off home run he hit, I guess it was on the 26th of April against Scott Matheson of the.
Right.
I mean, he was sitting fastball. You could see, and he was late on it, and he hit it to right. But he got enough of the barrel. You know, he squared it up enough, and then Matheson supplied all the power. That thing got out. And a couple of them, the ball, you know, he made Yokohama, we keep calling it a bandbox and all that other stuff, but he made it look like a backyard. You know when you're playing wiffle ball or something as a kid and you hit the ball with a fence? And you know you can't get the ball because there's a big mean dog next door and you don't like the neighbors, and so you know the ball's gone, so you don't even worry about it. You just break out a new ball or something.
That was gone.
He made that thing seem like a backyard. Yes, yes.
you got a lot of issues to deal with here from your childhood.
The mean dogs and the nasty neighbors, or the nasty dogs and the mean neighbors?
I don't think
sometimes I couldn't tell them apart.
I think we got to move that discussion to another venue, man. So anyway, Vladimir Valentin was the mean dog and the Bay Stars' worst nightmares, but they ended up winning a couple of games thanks to some heroics from a variety of players. Tatsiko Kinjo had 2 days in a row where he drove in the winning run.
Yep.
And he got a big kiss from Nakahata after the second one.
Yeah, that was kind of disturbing. I got to be honest. I was watching. I'm like, you know, this is just a regular season game, and it really doesn't mean that much. Why are you kissing in public? What's this public displays of affection are not acceptable in Japanese society. Stop it now.
Well, they're ball players, one, and he's Nakahata, so all the rules are out. So anyway,
it was very uncomfortable to watch.
I'm glad I didn't see it. I was rushing to the field at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, or actually, I was filing my story at that point with trying to get a minimum of mistakes. Anyway, moving along. Well, what I got was Vladimir Valentin's game, at least when it's going well, is stay loose. And then if that doesn't work, stay loose. And if that doesn't work, stay loose.
And if that doesn't work, get looser.
Exactly. It's about, you know, being relaxed and doing what you know you can do. So here's the thing about the injuries, which I liked, and we both liked it, which is you just got to do what you can do. And some of these guys can step up. And what he means when he's talking about stepping up, what we're talking about is realizing that you can play at this level, that you have what it takes to compete at this level, and that step up, you're going to face higher quality pitching, you're going to face higher quality fielding. Things aren't going to be as easy as they were, but you still have the core skills to do it. Now you just have to adapt them a little bit to different situations, but you can do it. And here's the thing, and I sound like the Barack Obama spokesman here, but here's the thing with Ogawa and the Swallows is that's their game.
Yes,
you can do it. Exactly. You can do it. We're counting on you to be the player you are. We're not counting on you to be a superstar. We're hoping you get there, but we're just counting on you doing what you can do right now and helping us out.
Yep.
And he's done that with a number of players, and he's very modest about it. But Lasting's Millage said beautifully, he said, look, everybody warned me before I came to Japan. They're going to try to hold your hand and tell you what to do. And he said, and that wasn't my experience at all. The Swallows said, you know what you have to do. You're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
We trust you to do what you have to do. And he went like he died and gone to heaven. Sorry for the blasphemy. But he was in a place where he could be the player he wanted to be.
Right.
And it has worked wonders for him. So anyway, and with the Swallows, that's been the case, and that's a few managers have been able to do that. Ogawa is really good at it. Watanabe is pretty good at it. Hara's good at half of it, but not good at the other half. Anyway,
yeah, I mean the thing about the new guys in Ogawa is that I saw an interview with him on TV the other day where he
are we talking about Ogawa the manager or Ogawa the pitcher?
Ogawa the manager of the Swallows manager. He said, you know, he really didn't know what some of these young players could do because he hasn't seen them that much.
Sure.
And he put them out there and he said, look, part of the process of me putting them out there was to find out what they could do because we didn't know.
In the major leagues, they call it extended spring training. In Japan, we call it the Central League.
No, I think we call it the Swallows the past 2 seasons is what happened.
Well,
because they've had to put these guys out there, and they've had to put guys out who they really don't know. So that, I mean, that was, I asked you to ask Coco that question half in jest, if he knew exactly who these guys are he was playing with, but half because I didn't think he knew what they could do.
Right.
And that's what I was hoping to generate an answer. Well, you know, I've seen a couple of these guys. I know this guy can do this and this guy can do that. But I think, you know, once you get to a bunch of outfielders on the Swallows farm team, they all start to mesh together.
Well, that's, I don't think that's, I think that's.
Not all of them, but a lot of them could.
From the media's point of view, yes. Especially from a kind of detached point of view where we're not beat reporters. and we don't cover these, we don't need individual stories about individuals,
mm-hmm.
especially Japanese individual players who may not make it to the made, you know, for the first team. But for the local beat reporters and for the players, these guys have characters, you know, they're people apart from their numbers, for which to me, they're not at this stage. If I haven't seen them play, they are basically numbers.
Yeah, I mean, numbers aside and all that stuff, I think they want to find out what these guys could do. And obviously, coming into the season, we knew some of the young pitchers were going to get a chance to throw. That wasn't a surprise. But I think Coco's answer was kind of fuzzy when he said, "Well, I know him. You know, don't test me now, but don't quiz me on him. But I know."
Or he said, "Yeah, we got some young guys, and I know who they are." Okay. Well, anyway, the guys he was specifically referring to, he mm-hmm. mentioned Ishiyama,
mm-hmm.
and there's two other guys in the bullpen. One is Oba and Emura, and those two guys are both first-year rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Yoshino's another reliever. These guys have been pitching, you know, just 4 or 5 innings a piece, basically. Ogawa's been pretty much in the starting rotation. Ryan Ogawa, they're calling him, because he tried to teach himself how to pitch by watching Nolan Ryan.
Saw that, and I know he's got the big leg kick and everything, but No, I'm not buying that for a second. I mean, you know, he doesn't actually, he pitches a lot differently out of the stretch, and he doesn't throw that hard, and
yeah, but
yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
why.
Yeah, but if you're going to practice Tiger Woods golf swings, he's going to make you Tiger Woods. And if you're 5'4", you ain't going to be Tiger Woods, but you can practice his swing and you can learn from it. So the fact that he's completely dissimilar from Nolan Ryan.
No, not completely. Just
okay. Well, stop being so hard on the media who come up with these crazy things. It wasn't me. We should add Ben.
All right.
We should add Ben. Anyway, so those are the pitchers. Now, the thing is, you know, who are the guys? We know about the pitchers because they brought them in. Now, who are the other guys? You know, somebody gets hurt. The first thing you look at, or first thing I look at, is who's on the minors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a good question. And, you know, the first guy, the best player on the Swallows farm team, here's a problem. The best guy on their farm team the last year's 2 years is Yuhei Takai. Because mm-hmm. he's hurt. He's now on the first team, or at least he was until he got hurt.
Right.
So we have to scratch his name off the list of the guy who's going to help him. This guy can hit. Former number one draft choice as a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two guys who I know next to nothing about, but we have a pitcher who's T. Yamada, and we have a shortstop who's T. Yamada. This is going to get confusing. Tetsuto Yamada is a 20-year-old shortstop who looks like he can play.
Mm-hmm.
And Takanori Sato is a 20-year-old outfielder who looks like he can play. I love these numbers. These guys who are, you know, these guys are getting it done. Now, the Eastern League is a good hitters league, so the numbers tend to be a little high.
Uh-huh.
But I like what the numbers have looked like so far. Now, the caution is we're not talking about big sample sizes, and so they could fluctuate wildly. I mean, one of these guys could be a superstar, and he just looks okay, or he could be a nothing.
Right.
Which
yeah.
had a superb year. But on the other hand, you know, you got good numbers when you're 18, 19 years old. There's a chance one or both of these guys could be pretty good. So that's the thing with the Swallows, is they do have some talent, and some of those guys could be better than the guys they're replacing. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, again, like the manager said, he's got to put them out there to find out what they can do, because he doesn't even know. So
that's kind of an organizational issue, I would think.
No, I think we're talking about the finer points of each of those guys' game. I mean, how, you know, if they say he's fast, that's a vague comment. He wants to know how fast. If he says the guy has a good first step, he wants to know, yeah, what about the other ones? you know?
Yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying. I mean, he has to know, perhaps the guy's, other than his physical skills, which he probably does know, he might want to know, you know, what kind of, you know, what kind of a person he is.
Well, yeah. I mean, once you get a new tool, you want to know what you can use it for. You know, whether it's just for certain things or yeah, you want to use, you want to be able to find out exactly what you can do with it.
Okay, is it a Phillips screwdriver or a Swiss Army knife? Okay, excellent. Okay, so the Swallows, however, are kind of, you know, they've played well, they've played badly. Every day is a little different, but, you know, you love the attitude. But the Central League's kind of a fun league this year. I mean, once how could I have been so wrong about the Giants not running away with the league? I don't
know. You and me both.
Well, I just figured that the Swallow. Well, I didn't expect, you know, a lot of things I didn't expect. Well, this happens. But basically, we're in a situation where the Giants are doing everything pretty well. They're doing some things very well, and the Tigers have improved their defense quite a bit, and the guys are hitting like they should.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Merton looks like the guy who set a hits record. He looks like that guy again.
Yep.
We didn't know what we were going to see with Nishioka and Fukudome coming back. I think he's playing above where he's going to end up, but that
agreed,
and that's helping the influenced the Tigers' record, and, you know, but they're still only three games over 500. Nobody's impressive. They're all right there. It's like the Giants, and then they look behind them, and then there's still a big pack, and, you know, you're running a race, and there's still everybody's grouped together behind the leader.
Yep.
Nobody's pulling away. Nobody's falling. I still look at the Dragons, and I look at some of the way that they're hitting. I look at their pitching numbers. I look at their run score, the run differential. They look like a middle of the pack team, and there they are at the very bottom. It's just weird.
That is unusual, because typically when Ochoa, you know, I hate to go back to, well, when Ochoa ran the team, like the backseat driver, the backseat owner, when Ochoa was running the team, the Dragons were perpetually outscoring their opponents and doing things well. They were always on the positive side.
Yep.
Either had something good or something good to show for very little. They're always doing the right things. There was always a bright side. And with the Dragons, I don't know there's a bright side. It's a scary side with the Dragons. Although, on the good side, Moreno's come back and played a little bit and done pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you look at all the numbers and except for their bullpen, and a couple of their starters, they're doing all right, and they should not be. I mean, they've only been outscored by 6 runs, and they're in last place. And on the other hand, the Bay Stars have been outscored by almost 20 runs.
Right.
And they're in third place. But the thing is they're two games under 500.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Is basically we've got the Giants in first, the Tigers in second, and we've got 4 teams in third place.
Yeah.
They're sort of interchangeable. The Dragons, Bay Stars, Carp, and Swallows.
Just about. The only 2 wins, I mean, you know, the difference in the win column is 2. But, you know, the league is going to – I think it's going to be that way this year. I think when somebody gets – if anybody gets hot – in September, that could just push them into the playoffs. If they can stay close enough, I think that'll do it. So,
well, you know, maybe it's this vibe I picked up in the WBC about teams. And I was thinking about this when Vladimir Valentin was talking, that if you go out there with the attitude of you can compete and you don't worry too much about all the things that can go wrong,
mm-hmm.
you'll find you have enough talent to beat somebody, you know, if you just focus on today's game and do the things you can do and execute how you can execute, you can beat pretty much everybody if you, you know, you do your job competently and things go right for you.
All right.
But here's the thing. These teams that are undermanned, if you can perpetuate that sense of disbelief that we don't have a chance, you can get it, stay out of that mode, you got a chance to finish, you got a chance to pretty much finish everywhere, anywhere but first in this league. The Giants don't have that problem. The Giants' problem is, how are we going to win? How can we avoid losing today? What's the one thing that's going to mess us up?
Yeah, they're already coasting. I mean, this looks like for them, it looks like one of those Olympic heats, or the sprint heats where they're easing up in the middle of it. Let's move on to talk about Mr. N. Godzilla. It sounds like a sitcom, I think.
It does indeed. In fact, we had in the old Godzilla movies, there was always that fateful moment when they announced on the news broadcast that Godzilla is back in Japan. They say Gojira Joriku. And, well, Godzilla did his Ajoriku the other day, returned where he's living in New York now, and he returned to Japan for the first time since he announced his retirement in December.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, he had his retirement ceremony.
Along with the People's Choice Award honor that...
the Prime Minister's Choice Award.
Yeah, they call it the people because on behalf of the people, the Prime Minister decides who's going to get this award.
Yeah, and if to give it at all, or, you know...
And when, and where, and how, and anyway. Yeah. So the government decided to honor these two. And, you know, I didn't look, and I should have looked it up, who else in the baseball world has received this honor.
Well, they made the award for Sadahara Oh.
Okay.
When he surpassed Hank Aaron's career home run total.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to avoid saying he broke Hank Aaron's record because that's kind of silly. Oh holds the record in Japan, and Aaron holds the record in the major leagues.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
So he surpassed his total.
Yeah.
Okay, now, and the second baseball player to win was Sachio Kinugasa when he surpassed, in Japan, the number of consecutive games played by Lou Gehrig mm-hmm. with the New York Yankees, which yeah. had been the major league record. Okay, so those two guys were there today, and I would have loved to talk to both of them, but, you know, first things first. Yeah. Anyway, so they had the People's Honor Award, and at first they announced that Abe was going to be the catcher, but Abe, in fact, was the umpire, which is good because we didn't have to see how far he'd bend over to
Yomir. You did. I was trying to stop you, and you did it anyway. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, yes, the Prime Minister, he still made the strike call. the thing I thought was pretty amazing, and I was telling everybody at the office, I said, look, all these swings, I don't care, you know, Nagashima had a stroke a while back, and
yeah.
I don't care how old these guys get. They swung the bat so many times that I said, he's going to take a nice swing with that one hand. And if the pitch had been, it was a really awful pitch by Matsui. I think he should be embarrassed.
It was an Ephus pitch, basically.
Up in the eyes. And anyway, if it had been a better pitch, he would have made contact with it.
That's what he said. He said, if that's a good pitch, I'm taking him deep.
Yeah.
Matsui said, sorry, at the press conference, said, sorry about that. And I know because he taught me everything I knew about hitting the pitches high and inside.
So, I mean, of course, this was a big build-up before this day, and NHK on one of the channels flooded the airwaves with Matsui documentaries, and I caught a glimpse of one of the episodes in which he said one of the reasons he was retiring, because he thought he could still play, even though I had made my time of death call long before he even joined the Tampa Bay Rays last year.
Wow, the hot coroner.
But he said one of the reasons he stopped playing was because he had actually reached a standard or set a standard by playing with these prestigious teams like the Yankees and the Giants that he didn't want to tarnish the legacy.
Wow, how Japanese.
And I thought, well, dude, you already had. You already had tarnished the legacy, but okay, I mean, if you think that getting picked up, not getting offered a job at the beginning of the season, getting a job or getting signed by the Rays and playing in the minors, coming up and hitting less than your weight is not tarnishing your image, then it's fine with me.
Good. Then I don't think we'll have to hear any more about it. But I'll tell you, what I took from this, it was a moving ceremony. And
well done. It was very...
I'll be honest. I think the whole idea of giving Matsui this honor when, you know, there are other people ahead of him in line sounded just like, you know, what can I, you know, quid pro quo for the Yomiuri. So... It wasn't a very palatable subject with me, but you know when all was said and done, it was very tasteful. And what I want to know is what space aliens kidnapped the Yomiuri Giants organization and secretly replaced their desire to be ostentatious and have bad taste with common sense and good taste. It was like it was so well done. It was sparkling. It was a shining light in how to hold a ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, I had one eye on the monitor and my work, and I had one eye on the TV. But from what I could see, it was really well done, very tasteful.
That's perfect. It was perfect.
And I couldn't. I had no complaints. I just wish I had been there because I'm supposed to be a writer. So
yeah, for Yomiuri.
There, but hey,
yeah, it would have been. Yeah, nice. Well, like Yeah, I guess it wasn't important for Yomiuri that you be there.
Right. But before we get off this topic, I wanted to share, and I hope you did the same thing, my favorite Matsui story. In 2007, I went to Seattle to talk to Ichiro and to Matsui. And I'm not sure if I ever told you this story, but I went up to Ichiro and in the Seattle Mariners clubhouse, and I just started talking to him. And I didn't need an interpreter, so I just did my normal spiel. And this was the first game of a three-game series, and Ichiro said, okay, well, why don't you get back to me? And then 5 minutes later, his interpreter came up to me and asked what I wanted to ask and blah, 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 blah. And it turns out over the three-day series, Ichiro didn't have 5 minutes to talk to me. But Matsui, on the other hand, I went into the clubhouse, and he was reading a book in the Yankees clubhouse, and I walked up, and I saw his interpreter, Roger, there. And is it Kalen or Colin?
I don't know.
And of course, you know, I didn't need an interpreter, so I just started talking, and Matsui placed the book down carefully, stood up straight and tall, and he said, go ahead, and he answered every question I had thoughtfully, with so much respect, and I walked away feeling so impressed about him as a person.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I had a long conversation one time with Matsui for a preseason special. I was going to say it's 2002, his last year in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And what you get, the feeling you get about talking to Matsui is that he's a really ordinary guy. He's so ordinary in the best meaning of that word. He's so humble and human that you just really can't doubt that somebody this positive and well-balanced and good-natured actually can live in this world, because
yeah.
You know, you get this impression, you know, that he takes his job really seriously, but that if he were to meet a garbage collector at a cocktail party, so, you know, the conversation would go something like this. This is, what do you do? Well, I'm the left fielder for the New York Yankees. How about you? I'm a garbage collector. Wow, that sounds really interesting. Tell me about that.
Yeah, tell me about some of the things you've collected. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, he's just too good to be true. He's what a great guy, and yeah, what a great honor.
So as for Mister, I mean, I never really got to cover either one of these guys. I really wasn't covering the entire baseball world at the time. I was just covering the Dragons. But I remember in 1996 when he was the skipper of the Giants, and the Giants came to Nagoya Stadium, the outdoor little bandbox they had down there, and I went to the finale there. This is the year before Nagoya Dome was going to open, and this was the game that was going to decide the Central League that year.
Yeah, if the Giants had lost, they would have had to play a one-game playoff.
Exactly. And I needed a picture of Mr. because I figured, you know, win or lose, I was going to write a column about the Giants and the Dragons and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And as you know, they kick you off the field, kick all the reporters off the field at a certain time before the game. And I just walked up to him and I said, I need a picture. And he stopped and he let me snap a really quick picture. And it's those little things, you know,
The
little things the guys do. I remember Kuwata was the same way. He was very respectful. And I think that says a lot about all these guys, no matter how big they are, and they're immensely popular because they're the kind of people they are, not because of what they did on the field only.
I absolutely agree with that, because there's 100 things you can do to, you know, to say, regardless of how busy you are, there's 100 reasons not to do something, but they always seem to find the good, the reason to do the right thing.
Yep.
And, more credit to both of them. I never really had much. I was at press conferences, and I've been in media scrums with Nagashima. I've been knocked over by reporters trying to take his picture. I never really understood much of what he said, but that's the kind of a thing with Nagashima, has always been the case. So, but you know, I do remember when Japan was competing to qualify for the Athens Olympics in the fall of 2003. How excited, you know, Nagashima was a horrible, you know, tactical manager. He makes Hara look like a shining light. And, but the players loved to play for him. The players loved to play for him. And it was such an honor for the players to be on the Japan team playing for Nagashima that I think if Nagashima had been the manager instead of having the stroke and it being put in Nakahata's hands in Athens, they might have done something. They would have played out of their shoes for him.
Mm.
But that didn't happen. And anyway, but of course, on the other hand, qualifying is one thing. The players played out of their shoes for Senichi Hoshino. in the Asian qualifying before the Beijing Olympics, and then they looked like they'd been nuked in Beijing. So
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, I was going to go through some of the stats, but the more I look at them, the more, I mean, you know, these guys, they didn't play in the same leagues. Matsui only spent 10 years in Japan, so it's kind of unfair to compare. But I do want to talk about one thing, and it was the strikeout figure for Nagashima. In 17 seasons, he struck out 729 times.
Wow.
Only. And Matsui struck out 934 times in Japan in 10 seasons. So.
Well, that's, yeah, we're talking about different eras too.
Sure, sure, but it's still, I mean, it's a lot different. You know, it's a lot different kind of baseball. It's really unfair to compare them, but I just
thought they're different players.
And
well, they were, it was a different era. There were relatively few strikeouts in Japan, although it was a dead ball era. There weren't a lot of strikeouts. It was basically hitting a bat, the best pitch you could get, which wasn't a very good, and everything was kind of stacked against the hitters when Nagashima showed up. But even the 60s were a tougher era for hitters than the 90s were. No juiced balls at that point. And then they were different kind of players, and Nagashima didn't have the, he had the tail end of his career. Although he could have kept, interestingly enough, Nagashima could have, he wasn't the real good player when he reached his last year.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years, he was pretty ordinary.
Yeah, I've heard.
But he was probably the second, or he's probably the third or fourth best third baseman in Japan. And he was still fabulously popular, but he decided instead to retire the year the Giants didn't win the pennant. And of course, they made him manager. The interesting thing today about what Matsui said was, he was offered, the Yomiuri pretty much bent over backwards to give him the job while Hara was, Giants managing job, while Hara was still sitting in the dugout.
Yes, yeah, we remember that.
and today Matsui said, I don't know in what shape or form it will happen, but, he has had dreams of him, he dreams of returning someday in some capacity with the Giants. And, that sounds to me like he wants to manage the Giants to me.
Well, it'd be nice. He'd be one of the nicer managers we've ever had here. So, all right. Now there's another thing we want to talk about. And, there's two other items. I just realized there are two other items we want to talk about. The first is, that Nori picked the worst day on the schedule to get 2,000 hits, but we're going to talk about Norihiro Nakamura. He got a single and then doubled it a run in a six-run explosion and helped the Bay Stars beat the Dragons today.
Right.
And he is the 43rd player to reach 2,000 hits and join the Mei Kyukai, and he did it. I put something on the Facebook earlier this week that got absolutely no response, and that was Tanishige and Nakamura are pretty much neck and neck. Who do you think is going to be the first one to get 2,000? And at the time, Nori was behind Shige, but
yeah.
I think this proves that he's always been a better hitter. I think Shige has been not nothing, but he's been mostly a compiler, a guy who, like I say, I don't always say this. I made this up when I was writing this, actually. I thought, if you give a dog 25 years of life, he can master a few tricks, And I think Shige has mastered tricks to make himself look like a really good hitter at this age. I mean, he's 42. He's been a middle-of-the-chart guy. He's got almost 600 more games played than Nori, so I think, that tells you what the difference in between these two guys. Now, they're different kinds of hitters and stuff, but Nori was a feared, productive, middle-of-the-lineup guy for a long time. And the thing that I really wanted to talk about in terms of him was, before he went to the Dragons, he really didn't have a job. He was pretty much out of baseball.
Yeah, he was basically blackballed. And the only team that would take, the only manager, here's a guy who could really play.
Obviously.
Here's the thing. This is a Japanese thing. This is a guy who could really play, who was coming off a bad season, in which he was basically forced to play with an injury. His stats went in the toilet, and then told to take a serious pay cut because his stats went in the toilet.
Mm.
And he said, "No, thank you. I'm out of here." And eventually, the Oryx Buffaloes again decided it was better to throw out the, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater. Everybody said, no, we don't think we should take a chance on Nakamura. He's damaged goods. He's got issues. And lo and behold, Hiromitsu Ochiai said, wait, hold on a second. You mean I can just sign him to a developmental contract and let him work out with a minor league team? And if he can really hit, then I could have the Central League's best third baseman of the year. Yep. Geez, I'll do that.
Yep, and that's what and they did.
And they won a Japan Series doing that.
Yep, and he was the MVP in 2007. And, you know, the thing that I remember about that season was he won two things. One, he had a bad back the whole season.
He was the MVP of the Japan Series that year.
That's what I said.
I know, but it sounded like he was the MVP of the Central League. That's
No, he's MVP of the Japan Series that year. And he had a bad back the whole season. And then the other thing I remember was at every turn, because he struggled at the beginning, and every turn, every time I turned on the TV, every time I went to a ballpark and the Dragon saw the Dragons, but Ochiai was there giving him advice. And, you know, it turned out to be very helpful. And look at what the guy's done since 2007.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a, you know, the Dragons let him go, and then he had one so-so season with Rakuten, and he had a pretty good year last year, and then they let him go, and now he's with the Bay Star. That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
With the Bay Star, with Rakuten, okay. And he had a good year with the Bay Stars last year, so this guy can still play. Okay, here's the quiz, and you careful listeners out there should know the answer.
Play along, folks.
Okay, name the other 2,000 hit players. Between Japan and the majors. I have to do that, not for one reason. Who were drafted in the same round of the same year as Norihiro Nakamura. Dun, dun, dun. I will tell you next week. Okay.
You tell us now, and you do it now. Wait a second.
Okay. The reason I had to say combined between Japan and the majors, because one guy is well over 3,000 hits between Japan and the majors. Another fourth-round draft choice in 1991, Ichiro Suzuki.
Uh-huh.
And the other is Tomoaki Kanemoto. All three fourth-round picks in 1991.
Huh.
And the other guy is a Shinjiro Hiyama of the Hanshin Tigers, who's had a pretty good career. So four pretty good players who were more valuable than the first round draft choices that year.
Yeah. I also thought it was really poetic justice for Nakamura to get his hit at Nagoya Dome. I thought that was good for him. Because that's the place where his career was essentially revived.
And he said he wanted to get it there. So he had a chance. I was at the game same day that Kinjo hit his sayonara home run, and Vladimir Valentin was walked three times, and Nakamura had his 2,000th hit between Japan and the United States because he had five hits with the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2005.
Yeah, I didn't count. I just remember the other day somebody said that. I'm like, wow, it's got to be four or five hits. What are he talking about? Leave us alone here.
Five hits in 17.
That's not a milestone. Get away with that.
Five hits in 17 games, although he hit doubles, I think, in back-to-back games, and that was sort of like, oh, man, it looks like he's got something going here. That was it. Okay.
All right.
So anyway, congratulations. And Tanishige should have his moment in the sun within the next four or five games.
Maybe tomorrow. You never know.
Maybe tomorrow.
All right. The next thing I wanted to talk about was the animal passing on. Now,
wow.
I came to Japan in 1990, and Brad, the animal Leslie, had already come and gone in terms of his career by then.
Baseball
His baseball career. So I never really got to see him pitch. I think it was obvious.
Yeah.
His acting career started, I think, afterwards, right?
Yes.
So he died at the age of 54. He was a kidney failure. He had kidney disease. Now, he was a right-hander who made a big impression on Japan in just 60 games. Just 60 games, over two seasons. He was 7-5 with 24 saves.
He was... Brad Leslie was, well, he was called the animal when he played in the majors, but when he came to Japan, he was larger than life. He's a real big guy, but he was on the field, and his manager, Toshiharu Ueda, a guy who I absolutely love, said, he was kind of fragile, and he would shake before he went on the field, so, you know, before his time to pitch in the game approached, he would be shaking. And they were always a little nervous about, you know, putting all their faith in him.
But <You think>?
But he was so much fun. He said if he'd been a really good, if he'd been, you know, a little tougher, he would have been phenomenally popular in Japan, but he was still popular. When he died, I was stunned that he was only pitching here for 2 years. He left such a big impression. I was learning Japanese baseball at that time in the mid-80s, and he was a fantastic – he was – what an entertainer on the field. He had three things. He had, when he struck batters out, he did a sumo thing, which is when a sumo wrestler wins a match, he gets a little cash-stuffed envelope from sponsors for that match. And he does a little thing with his hands. You know, he shakes his hand one way to the left, to the right, and then down, straight down the middle, and he takes his envelope full of cash. He did that when he struck out batters. He was a closer. And then when he won, he would leap up into the air and clench his fists and roar. And then as the catcher came out to congratulate him, he'd punch him.
Yeah, I did see some highlights of those things, yeah.
And his catcher, Fujita, said the other day, he said when they asked if his best memory of his most lasting memory of Animal was, of course, getting punched after he'd win the game. And he'd say, if I took my mask off, he'd headbutt me and my nose would hurt for 3 days.
Great. Yeah, thanks. Can't wait for you to pitch again, bud. But
so he died, and what a shock.
Yeah, I can't believe in that era, a guy doing all these gyrations and the sumo hand victory stuff and all that stuff on the mat. I think he was that generation's version of Rami-chan and his home run.
Yeah, very much so.
And
his career, his acting career, really got into high gear when he had a small role in Mr. Baseball.
Which, you know, was filmed in Nagoya, mostly.
Yes.
A lot of it done at Nagoya Stadium. That kind of thing going on this day and age, I don't think it'd be accepted, but. You know, who was going to tell him to stop? I don't think anybody.
Well, he played for a team that was, you know, he played for the Hankyu Braves, the predecessors of the Oryx Blue Wave and Buffaloes, and they were a kind of staid little. They're pretty boring. You know, they were a very good team. Boomer Wells, he was a teammate of Boomer Wells. They were a boring team. The guys were good, but. You know, a little laid back and not too flashy.
Mm.
So he was a tonic to them. They drew, they announced attendance of 1 million the first year he pitched, and I think he had a bit to do with that. People wanted to see Boomer. He was the Ramirez. He was the, we've had a few players. He was, Matt Winters, was an entertainer as well, although not with the victory celebrations, but, great entertainer, great asset, a great tonic for some of the boredom that so often Japanese baseball embraces.
Well, it wasn't boring this past week, and
nope.
We were looking for more. I think Tanishige probably, he figured out if he gets a hit during the middle of the week, he can have the day to himself in the news. Mr. Nordy.
He's a clever guy.
Yeah, he's a really smart.
He's got a lot of tricks.
Because a catcher would be like that, right? The guy's always thinking ahead.
Yeah, gotta
be. Two steps ahead, baby. All right, well, and we are stepping away. This is, hopefully we didn't go over because we don't want to make the producer angry.
Nope. That's dangerous stuff.
Thank you for listening. Hopefully we'll get your questions in for next week, especially
yes.
MP3s. And I don't want to make it sound like our staff is doing crack, but we do have a crack staff. Waiting to do research. So
let's stop talking about crack.
So you put them to work by sending your questions to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll address them on the show. Good job, man. Thanks a lot.
I promise those questions won't slip through the cracks.
Wow. You just had to get that in the crack, didn't you?
Okay. This crevice is closed.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Have a good week. Enjoy your baseball.